Welcome to the 27th Annual Executive War College, produced by the Dark Intelligence Group, April 27th and 28th, 2022, in New Orleans. The title of this presentation is Small Lab Sites, Big Patient Impact: Effective Ways to Deliver More Value and Improve Patient Care in Rural Counties in Sparsely Populated Areas.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Liz Carey from the Dark Intelligence Group. Hope you're having a great conference so far. With us right now is Christy Madden, Laboratory Manager for United Indian Health Services in California. She has a presentation on small lab sites, big patient impact, effective ways to deliver more value and improve patient care in rural counties and sparsely populated areas. So, Christy, take it away.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for the introduction. Again, I hope all of you are having a great conference. This is my second time at this conference and really enjoy the networking and communication and meetings and learning opportunities that we have. So thank you. Again, this is I'm from United Indian Health Services. I'm the laboratory manager. And this is a small lab site, big patient impact. These are my disclosures. The views expressed of this presentation are for those of the presenter and provided for illustration purposes only. Results and case studies are not a prediction of other cases and results may vary. So my objectives are define system requirements for a small lab environment, discuss workflow efficiencies, observed with new laboratory information instrumentation, and recognize best practices based on studies that I present to you at the end. So UIHS is the abbreviations for United Indian Health Services. So who is UIHS? We are a consortium of 9 tribes serving a population of 18,000 Native Americans. We are located in Northern California, along the Pacific Ocean and in the Redwood Trees. So we are about 6 hours south of, we're 6 hours north of San Francisco, about 5 hours south of Portland. So just to show you kind of how remote we are, we have 2 counties that we serve. Humboldt County is about 180,000, and Del Norte County is about 20,000. So to give you an idea, the city of New Orleans has a population of 400,000. We provide comprehensive services, including dental, medical, of course, laboratory, pharmacy, behavioral health, vision, diabetes, and a tribal public health program. And also we have a really unique program called Elder Nutrition because some of our elders are on more of the remote reservations. So we're able to provide them with some help in nutrition and with getting food. We just celebrated our 50th anniversary in 2020. And our main location is in Arcata, and we have about 8 medical providers, and at the other 5 sites, usually 1 to 2. We do have some specialty providers that can come in for infectious disease, cardiovascular, pediatrician, OB, and some podiatry. Each location has a laboratory assistant. Our laboratory assistants are our phlebotomists, and they're available for blood draws and, of course, waived and point-of-care testing. The next few slides, I just wanted to share with you some of the culture and traditions of our area and among our Native community. The 2 slides on the left are pictures of our Pottawa Health Clinic. Pottawa is our Indian name for our clinic in Arcata. It's a campus where most all of those services are available. The clinic is made out of recycled redwood trees. Up along the top, you can see some individuals in their regalia. Those baskets up there are handmade and woven, and most of them are waterproof. On the top right, that's a baby basket with abalone to rock it and make the sound to soothe the child. And I was just at the mall on Sunday and saw 2 of them. So they're still used today. The middle is the California woodpecker. It is a prayer bird for most of the tribal communities in our area. And there's some local art. And on the bottom, we have summer camps. These are for Native American youth. to learn how to do the basket making and the weaving and learn about their dances and their prayers and their culture. So this is an example of some individuals learning how to do their baskets. And the next slide is the top left is actual canoes that are used today that are carved out of actual redwood trees. And you go along the river and you can actually see them parked up and down the banks. So it's really, really neat to see those. These are some more pictures that I've taken of some vistas of the Pacific Ocean. Up in the top right is the Klamath River where we get our king salmon out of. And in the middle is some pictures of driving up and down 101 through the redwood trees. The middle is a map. Oops, let me do that. The middle is a map of our clinics throughout northern California. So focusing in Humboldt and Del Norte County. We go about 112, we have 125 miles up and down 101. And we go out to a place called Wichipec. Top right, you can see them doing their regalia with their California woodpecker dress on the top. And in the bottom, we are famous for having herds of elk that just like to calmly walk onto Highway 101 and stop traffic. If you see an elk sign, you will see an elk. My history is working at some of the larger institutions, and what I really enjoy about UIHS is that they teach us once a month. Today was on traditional healing this morning. We had a presentation from one of the local healers. So each month we're required to attend one of these sessions so that we learn about the cultures and traditions and prayers and dances. And it really makes us as providers engaged into our client care. So it's just been a wonderful experience there with UIHS and learning the cultures, because the first few weeks I put up an owl on the window and I was told to not put an owl on the window because that meant something dark was coming. So I'm like, okay, no more owls. Because it was Halloween. I was trying. So, the next slide. Why the laboratory service expansion? I started in August of 2018. And coming from the larger institutions, I was seeing 100 blood tubes being sent down to a reference lab and other specimens. And then I went to the other remote clinics and saw about 20 to 30 specimens being sent down to a remote clinic. And having experience at those larger sites, I said, we can do something better here. Because we can enhance the chronic care as far as diabetes, hypertensive, and coronary heart disease, which is prevalent in the Native American community, which are higher risk factors, then we can do a quicker medication error because we're able to get those results same day, next day, diagnose and treat faster, which I'll show you some case studies that reflect the impact that the lab has had on the medical department. One of the challenges we found, because we were so remote, we did not have couriers who were directly employed by the reference lab. So they contracted out to couriers. And the couriers were just not engaged in getting those samples to the plane to go down South California. So we found that the specimens were coming out of refrigeration. They weren't frozen. They were out of temperature. So then they were rejecting them. Even though how many times we would call. So we found about a 10 to 15% of specimens being rejected or lost. And that was unfortunate in our Native American population, especially telling them that, hey, you're on the reservation, you need to drive 75 miles in to go get your blood redrawn. So that was a problem. Improved patient engagement. So they're not waiting 3 to 4 to 7 days for their diagnosis or treatment. We're able to get them the same day, next day, and it really brings them in because they were just there and it's really fresh in their minds what's going on. And especially to provide behavioral health counseling opportunities, invite them into our diabetes awareness program. We have heart walks that we do every week with the heart patients, and especially if they need any nutritional counseling, we're able to quickly get them into those programs. That is that slide. Make sure I have everything on my notes. Of course, we expanded our laboratory services. Not only were there clinical benefits, there was financial benefits. Because we were able to get same day, next day appointments, that really reduced the amount of phone calls that our front office staff was having to field. We, again, minimized patient follow-up, so that brought more availability to wellness appointments and same day sick appointments. We got some revenue. It startly slowed, but now we're up to about an average of between $80,000 to $100,000 a month, which is, I think, a significant revenue source for our clinic. And that was something that fiscal was like, hey, how can we add more tests? How can we get some more money? So, and then, of course, the reference lab bill, all those tests were going to that reference lab. Now that I'm able to bring all those things in-house, I've been able to reduce my lab bill by 80%. Some fun facts. What percentage of outpatient medical treatment is based on laboratory results? Any guesses?
70.
Yes. Yes, you're right. Also, I forgot to say happy lab week. Yay! Happy lab week. Thank you, everyone. But yes, 70%, and that's significant, especially in all of our clinics and providing to all of our clients and patients. So things to think about when we're doing this expansion project. Space and design. How much room are we going to need? What departments will this affect? IT, HR, fiscal, facilities, courier, receiving, and then really involve these departments in the development of this project, because it really gives them some, and you're investing them in this project, you're giving them some recognition, and therefore they're more prone to say, hey, I helped them do this. Of course, evaluate your current reference lab bill. And with reference lab bill, you can look at what tests are most ordered to develop your test menu. Of course, staffing needs, which is always important, especially prior to COVID. And of course, you want to, now that you have a test menu, you can kind of start to look at some instrumentation that you may have used in the past or are currently new and exciting to really develop your lab menu. And of course, you have to look at reagent rental and purchase, what is better for your site, and construction time. We're going to need a temporary space. All of us have proficiency testing, but now I'm going to make a point of care lab into a high complexity, so I need to look at doing some calibration verification programs. And the number one thing that I learned from this is apply to upgrade your license. It took a year and a half before I could finally get my high complexity license. And unfortunately, not due to my fault, but we did lose some revenue as far as CMS billing. And I had a huge paper trail, how many phone calls, how many meetings to get this done. And finally, at the end, they're like, you know what, we messed up. And I'm like, what? You did what? Yes, we messed up. So that kind of evaluated or accelerated us getting our license. So that was one big thing that I learned. If you're going to change your licensure, do it now. Of course, get the support from your staff, especially your lab staff, and express to them, this is what we can do to make our client care better, especially for our Native American community. And most of my staff are Native American, so they can see the benefit because they're already experiencing the delayed lab times of getting their results. And you always have that one person that the glass is half empty, not half full. And you're always going to have that person, and that person's always going to create challenges. So you need to remember you're doing this for the greater of your patient care. So I'm just going to throw some numbers at you. These are the numbers that I presented to our board of directors. As you can see, the total 160. This is for a month prior to us having our high complexity lab. So we were doing 160 CMPs. All that total column, that was all being sent to our reference lab. And then you can see on the CMS reimbursement, you can see the average of what CMS was reimbursing. So all that revenue was going to our reference lab. And then the next slide, as you can see, somehow the numbers didn't come over, but the PHV lab is our Pottawa Health Village. That's the main location in Arcata, and that's where we built the lab. So you can see that total. The total is 282 tests. The reference lab, we're sending 1,007. So if you do the calculations, the month of March 2022, I took 70% of the labs stay at UIHS, 30% of those reference labs went to the reference lab for testing. So on that month, I did 70% that I captured from the reference lab. This was the test menu that we came up with, that we looked at the numbers. I involved some providers in this as well. Some of the providers wanted a troponin and a D-dimer and a lactic acid and ammonia. And if you want those tests, you can have them. You're going to wait 3 to 4 days for results. But the frequency that we did them was not enough, was not pertinent enough to provide for our patient care. And plus, we had a local hospital, 20-bed hospital, that was 500 feet away. So if you need those tests, you need to go to the ER. You don't need to come to the outpatient clinic. We had an existing lab space. I made medical mad. I took away two of their patient rooms, so they didn't talk to me for a while. We had a wonderful, amazing facilities director who really took on our vision, my vision, to improve lab, because he was also a Native American, and so was his, and of course his family was. So he could see the troubles that they were having in medical, and he said, let's do this. We would visit other labs that had the instruments we were looking at, and I would take my facilities manager with me, because it's hard to show somebody, a non-laboratorian, how big a Cobost is or how big an Abbott 4100 is until you physically see it. You can only draw out so many papers and put them on the floor and show them what it's, the footprints is going to take. So showing him what was available really opened his eyes and really started him thinking how we can lay this out and how we can do, of course, the plumbing. And we need to look at having a reagent grade water system, and we need to do floor drains. So, of course, we needed a temporary lab space so that they can finish their construction on taking over those two patient rooms and then updating the current lab space. The other thing I did is I reached out to some area hospitals to see what instrumentation they had. Because we're so remote, it's sometimes difficult to get things in on time. So the local hospital, which is 500 feet away, was also changing their technology to the technology I was looking at for our hematology machine. So we were able to quickly get our verification done once the instrument was installed. And we've had some instances where we didn't get enough cell pack, or we didn't get the dye, or they didn't get something. So we were able to quickly get that resolved and share the things together. Because I was a Native American clinic, so I'm not in competition with the other hospitals as far as getting clients. This is the instrumentation that we chose. I'm not saying you need to go out there and get this. This is the only thing that's going to work for you. This is what we chose and what we thought was going to work for our small lab. So, again, I'm not saying you have to go out and get these. This is just what we chose. We chose the Abbott 4100 because it matched our test menu. We liked the footprint of it. If we needed to expand some tests, we found that we could maybe take on some more testing, add some more revenue, provide patient care that had that availability. Of course, the price, and we chose to go reagent rental. You know, this is a new thing, and I thought I better not buy this direct, because what if it flops? So that way, we just paid for our reagents. If it didn't work out, you can come and get it and take it back. We chose the XN550. For those of you who've been a night tech at the large hospitals, and all of a sudden your hematology machine goes down at 2 a.m., and you know you're going to get about 700 samples in about 2 hours, you kind of freak out a little bit. So this company, I've worked with them before. At 2 o'clock in the morning, they're able to talk you off the ledge, say, okay, let's do this, let's do this, let's get you up and going. So this product was more expensive than the other ones I presented to our board of directors. But once I told them that story, they're like, okay, we agree with you. It had a 6-part diff, which is a newer technology, and it had a smaller footprint, which I'll show you, and it had something called Beyond Care. So in the beginning, our QC would drift a little bit, and you'd work on it and see if you could get it better. But at that time, someone else is watching what you're doing, and they give you a call and say, look, I see what's going on. Let's try this. Let's try another lot. Let's try the temperature. If not, it doesn't work. I'm going to send you a service tech. So that was amazing, especially when you're the only tech, when you're the only CLS trying to do this. And of course, it had a low maintenance. A long time ago, there was a lot of maintenance for these instruments. Now this instrument tells me, okay, you need to give me some cell clean. Okay, I need to shut down and update. Okay, you need to do some monthly maintenance on me. So it's telling me what to do. We chose the Cepheid GenExpert. Love the technology, love the footprint. And of course, GC chlamydia and it was a significant test needed in our area. We did chose to do the group strep B. It wasn't a significant test that we need for our OB patients, but the reference lab loved to reject it. So I'm not going to tell that person to recollect a GPS. So here's our hematology instrument. You can kind of see the small footprint. It fits really nice on the counter. We did have to reinforce it. There's the cabinetry, and we found some carts, roller carts, that we can change out the boxes of reagents. And I just wanted to show you the colorful scattergram that most of you probably have seen. This, remember this scattergram, this is going to be a game changer. Here is our Abbott 4100. You can see we chose the reagent gate water system. In the back behind the instrument, there's a counter where we have our point of care instruments. And then something I want to share with you, if any of you or you know of anyone who is even remodeling their lab or even their kitchen, this floor is rubber. It looks like wood. It's amazing. No need tripping over those black ergonomic foot mats. It's really great. It works really well. It cleans up really nice. So, and that was the nice thing with our facilities manager. He's like, hey, I've seen this flooring. Can we try it? I'm like, sure. So it's an amazing floor. Just a little jealous. The funny thing is we have this huge instrument, but it needs its own air conditioning system because it throws off so much heat. We needed a portable air conditioner to kind of counteract getting that 85 degree lab down to 70. There's my Cepheid. We originally had a four door in a box that just came prior to COVID. So we were all excited. We had a Cepheid and we had all the capacity to do the testing. But it was only a 4-door. So with COVID, we were able to expand and get the 16-door. So the 4-door I sent to one of our clinics who has a high prevalence of COVID testing. So they were able to do their own. Polling question. Being laboratorians, do you guys have funny names that you nicknamed your instruments? Yeah? Okay, good. So did I. Didn't want to think I was crazy. Our Sysmex XN550, we call it Sysmex Sally. Our Abbott 4100, the facilities team calls it our battleship because they were the one that helped install it. We call it Big Mama. For some of you, you may have heard of the Q testing, the little card, the credit card reader, and you'd end and put a cartridge in, and it was like a PCR test for COVID. Of course, you know, having a Cepheid, you realize the cartridges were not available all the time. So we got these Qs from the public health department that were able to do some COVID testing for us. And we called them the Q to Qs, even though they were very difficult to work with. And of course, we got our Cepheid, and actually the providers and nurses would come in and say, how's Charlie doing today? Charlie was really busy yesterday. Is he going to be okay today? So we nicknamed our Cepheid Charlie. This is a timeline, and for those of you in larger organizations, this is unheard of. I started in August, proposed the lab expansion in October. Before I present, I even presented to the board of directors, which is a group of 20 people who are all Native American. They're all members of their tribe, so very intimidating for me, especially being there 2 months. Before I could even finish my sentence and my presentation, they were like, yes. How quick can we do this? One of them's calling Bill, the facilities manager, on the phone. Get over here. They're calling IT. Get over here. And within that afternoon, we had a plan to build a lab. So very grateful to UIHS. As you can see, the construction of the new lab begins. We get some training on April. I get some training on April 19th in 2019. And then I'm just going to show you this, these dates here. You know, May 7th, May 8th. 13th, 15th, May 16th, along with that colorful scattergram, is a game changer in our lab. And of course, in June, we start the Abbott School. You go to Texas for your Abbott training school. The end of June, the Abbott 4100 comes. They do some installation for about a week. And then the installation tech comes. She was there for about 3 weeks so we could do correlation and validation for all those tests and to put in the reference ranges into the LIS and get everything up and going. And then September, we opened our lab. So within a year, we had a lab. That's amazing. Polling question. Fun thing. When I passed through ORIC on Friday, population was 366. So what is ORIC California named for? Is it for the Paul Bunyan story takes place there, the original home of the In-N-Out Burger, or location of the tallest tree in the world, or the off-season training location for the New York Yankees baseball team? Any guesses? The tree! This is the Hyperion Redwood tree. It is named after the tall one, or the high one, and it is 380 feet tall and one of the oldest trees in the world. For those of you who have ever been to Northern California and drove up 101 to see the majestic trees and redwoods that you go through, it's just amazing. So a beautiful place that I live in. I'm very blessed. So the next few are my cases that really made a significant difference in our lab. So the first one, remember the date of May and remember the colorful scattergram. 12-month-old male child presents to the clinic with continued fever, onset of 7 days prior, previously treated with clindamycin without improvement. And just to give this a little more personal, this was our medical, and she allows me to share this story. This is our medical assistant supervisor, and I went to lunch and I found her out in her car, and she was just hysterical. Kodiak's sick, I can't get him to feel better, he's crying, he's hurting, I'm hurting, I can't sleep. He has an appointment, and I said, this was the first day this machine got out of the box. I said, can I draw his blood? Yes. Worked with the provider, she's like, yes. So first test on a 12-month-old, colorful scattergram, left shift, wrong antibiotics. The provider consulted the University of California, San Francisco Hospital, said yes, changed the antibiotic to Rocephin. Medication changed that evening. He was better the next day. Just amazing. This case, I had already made medical mad because I took away their space. But once this MA supervisor, this happened to their son, this really personalized it for my medical team and our medical department. And it really started engaging our providers. They want to see that colorful scattergram. They want to see what this instrument does. So it was a miracle that it happened, and it really made us an important part of medical. Case number two, 26-year-old, 26 weeks pregnant, comes into the lab for just her normal prenatal labs. But as we're sitting here talking with her and she's looking at all these bruises up and down her arms and legs, she goes, "I'm serious, my boyfriend is not beating me." We're like, "We know, it's okay." So we did the platelet count of 5, consulted with the local hematologist. The hematologist was able to get her in the next day because of her pregnancy status. So she had ITP, and then she began on a treatment program. So we got to see her once a week to monitor her platelets. Of course, they never went up, but at least we were able to get her into that hematologist and start those treatments so that she could start to feel better. Case number 3. This is another one that really made a difference because this gentleman is really known in his tribe. 14-year-old male presents with fatigue, no appetite, and dehydrated at an outlying clinic. CBC, diff was ordered, and some other chemistries, but we got those samples in the afternoon. This is one of the highest white counts I've seen, and I've been doing this a long time. Maybe some of you have seen higher. 398 WBC count. Called the provider. Provider was like, "Yep, I kind of figured." Looked at the differential on my part and had the history of knowing that this was acute lymphoblastic leukemia. We had to arrange some transportation to go get this young man out in his reservation because he did not have transportation. So we sent out one of our community health workers. We advised the ER what was going on, and we had already spoken with University of California San Francisco Clinic. We already organized a life flight for him to go down to San Francisco and really get some treatment. This young man needed some help, and he needed it very soon. 2 more cases. Case number 4, 47-year-old man presents to the outlying clinic with lower back pain. He's like, "Really, I was working, I was chopping wood, and I hurt my back." CBMP was ordered, received the sample in the afternoon. He had a creatinine of 4.5, so, of course, acute kidney failure. That afternoon, he was admitted to the ER, and dialysis was started. So, again, somebody who needed help, and he needed help. And my last case is a 37-year-old female patient presents with abdominal pain, nausea, and vomiting. Been going on for several days. CMP was ordered. Of course, amylase and lipase are significantly elevated. Provider was notified. We sent her over to the ER to get an ultrasound. And, of course, she was having acute pancreatitis, which is very, very painful. So, again, we were able to get her treated as soon as possible and get her feeling better. So, lab expansion benefits. As you can see, quick, timely results. Greatly improved the patient experience because we're able to engage them and get them treated and get their medications changed if needed. As I said, the medical staff is more engaged with the laboratory because, "Hey, do you mind? I really feel this guy is really sick. Can you get the CMP run as soon as you can?" "Sure." Well, more often than not, it was significant and something needed to happen. We've found an additional revenue source. And of course, with the reference lab bill, we were able to greatly decrease it by usually 70 to 80%. So, again, the local artist, as you can see, patient, providers, laboratory, that's expressed in the community, okay? More patients coming in to their providers, laboratory, going out to the community. So it was just a circle, and it really has greatly improved how many more Native Americans are coming into their clinic because they had such a bad experience in the past, but now they're hearing that it's a better experience. So thank you. A year or so ago, you may have seen on the news, we are in the area of forest fires. So when the forest fires start, we notice when we wake up in the morning, there's ash on our cars. Well, somehow the ash altered the sun to make it look like this. So it was really eerie and creepy, but it was really kind of beautiful. So that's our Padua Health Clinic. So thank you again. Do we have some questions? Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
At first, we were very fortunate. When pandemic first started, we had those Abbott ID Nows that now are only like 85% effective or accurate. And so I had 9 of those, and I decommissioned them. And some hospitals reached out to me, and so I was able to give them. So we were able to improve their testing capability. But then, of course, you know, the Abbott cartridges are hard to find. And then we found out the 85%, you know, accuracy. We already had a Cepheid. We didn't get those cartridges until probably end of May. And of course, we only got a few amount at a time. So that was difficult. And then the good thing is I called our public health lab and I said, hey, I have these Abbott ID Nows and I have a Cepheid. And they're like, who are you and where did you come from? So I was able to do more testing than our public health lab. And therefore, for those of you with California, the state of California purchased a bunch of Perk and Elmer equipment to do PCR testing for COVID. The public health lab didn't have any room and they didn't have any staff. We have the Perk and Elmer equipment. So very blessed to have that amount of testing capabilities for our staff. So we have a Cepheid, we have the Perk and Elmer. We have like three different antigen testings. We have the Qs. We never could not stop testing, you know, whether we ran out of the Cepheids or whether we ran out of Abbott ID Nows. We always had that back of the Perk and Elmer equipment. So not only are we helping our Native American community, but we still have those skilled nursing facilities where outbreaks are happening. So we're able to help them with their response testing or if they want to do some, you know, other type of testing. So we do a lot of testing with the skilled nursing facilities and recovery centers. A couple times Humboldt State has reached out to us because they're experiencing an outbreak. That's the local university that we have, so we're able to help them with their testing. So once we did this lab and once the lab found out about us, we've really grown in our community, not only for our Native Americans, but as far as our residents in Humboldt and Del Norte County. Thank you for the question. Thank you for your time. This is my second time presenting. The last time it was on Zoom, so I didn't know how many people I was talking to, but now I do. So thank you again for your time. I hope you enjoy the rest of your conference, and thank you again.
This concludes the presentation. Mark your calendar for next year's Executive War College to be held April 25th and 26th, 2023, in New Orleans.